Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney.
Thank you, Minister Muhammad. I'm happy to be here on this panel with these esteemed panelists. Hip-hop is global, hip-hop is power, hip-hop is success, and hip-hop is culture. I've got a book here that I'd like to draw your attention to. This book, in brief, outlines people who have been victims of America's war on black people. We're all victims, but some were on the forefront in the struggle to make all of us free. In this small booklet, they talk about their friends and the who are the victims of an FBI program of overt and covert and illegal actions. They tell what it was like to see their friends and leaders in the struggle for black liberation murdered, beaten, and imprisoned. They were infiltrated and black leadership was annihilated. The black community was rendered rootless, rudderless, and impotent. After such heady days of black power, burn, baby, burn, and say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. How in the world have we descended to this? Have you walked along any major street in urban America? I have. What do you see? Black man after black man after black man after black man sleeping on America's streets. In makeshift cardboard beds, on sidewalk benches, over heating grates, under bridges. In the nooks and crannies of America's cities, black men have been thrown away like trash. On the same block as the White House, an elderly black woman calls a bus shelter her home. The Justice Department admits that blacks are more likely than whites to be pulled over by police, imprisoned, and put to death. And though blacks and whites have about the same rate of drug use, blacks are more likely to be arrested and are more likely to receive longer prison sentences than whites. 26 black men were executed last year. We started this year executing a mentally retarded black woman. Government studies on health disparities confirm that blacks are less likely to receive surgery, transplants, even prescription drugs than whites. Physicians are less likely to prescribe appropriate treatment for blacks and for whites, and black scientists and physicians can't get the funding to change any of this. A black baby boy born today in Harlem has less a chance of reaching age 65 than a baby born in Bangladesh. And I serve with the members of the Congressional Black Caucus, where the Congressional Black Caucus is shrinking in numbers. Supreme Court decisions have rendered affirmative action not much left to mend. And the Voting Rights Act, critical aspects of the Voting Rights Act expire in just a few years. We are what we are because COINTELPRO was the plan. We are what we are, and COINTELPRO is what was meant to be. COINTELPRO, the government's counterintelligence program, had as its goal, and I will quote the FBI's own words, to expose, disrupt, misdirect, discredit, or otherwise neutralize the activities of black organizations and to prevent black leaders from gaining respectability. To continue in their words, they wanted to prevent the rise of a black messiah. We all know what happened to Malcolm and to Martin, but what about Tupac and Biggie? What does this have to do with you? I have with me some documents. The first document establishes the COINTELPRO program. The next document is from the FBI files, which expands the program from 23 to 41 offices. The next document is from the FBI, where they used unions to prevent a black-white coalition. Even marriages were disrupted. The Valentine's Day present, 69 was that they were going to disrupt a man's marriage. And then this document, which is written 1 month before the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King, states its goals and the targets. The targets were the SCLC, SNCC, Nation of Islam, Revolutionary Action Movement, and goal number 5 here talks about preventing the long-range growth of militant black organizations among the youth. Specific tactics to prevent these groups from converting young people must be developed, and it's signed by J. Edgar Hoover. I have another memo here which seeks permission to use the Jewish Defense League to disrupt the activities of the Black Panther Party. Now, can you imagine how shocked I was then to go on the Smoking Gun website and read about an FBI investigation after Tupac's death about the JDL shaking down hip-hop artists and Eazy-E, Wright, and Tupac were their victims. It concludes by saying that one memo stated there was inescapable indication that extortionate criminal activity was occurring. And then finally, I have a little memo from 1978 where it talks about making sure that blacks are to support the nomination at federal and local levels of loyal black public figures to elective office, to make sure that your leaders are already picked by them before you have a chance to pick your own leaders. Al Sharpton is in prison today because he chose nonviolent protest of violence perpetrated by the United States government against the people on the island of Vieques. Instead of real leaders like the Vieques Four, COINTELPRO gives us hand-picked court priests who are more loyal to the FBI plan than to their own people. Hip-hop is global. Hip-hop is power. Hip-hop can be a force for change. Hip-hoppers can provide the leadership. But first, you have to know your power, then you have to protect it, and you have to defend it. Right. Talk to the survivors of COINTELPRO 1. There's an awful lot of history, and there's an awful lot to learn. Thank you.
Thank you.